Do you know, here's a few facts. The actor that plays, everybody knows him as Frasier, he was literally at his house, and he was, and by the way, he has got like, he's a Shakespearean actor. Like, the dude's done Broadway. Like, he's good. Sometimes you see some goofy actor on a sitcom. But no, he's like for real. He's at his house, and he was meeting with a couple of friends and then stayed up later one night. And he literally said to the Lord, he's like, "Man, I want to do something significant with my life, something that just counts and has real purpose." The next day, the script showed up in the mail. And he read it, and he's like, "This is it." So his wife, when they completed the movie, they watched it in their home, and his wife wept and said, "That's the best thing you've ever done." There's just a lot of beautiful things that have happened in it because, you know, they're acting. So Greg Laurie's there since he lived it, and he's one of the main characters. The character in the movies is his history. So he's telling them, like, some of the things that happened. So, like, it's cool. And so they're doing this baptism scene where people are meeting Jesus Christ, going out into the ocean to get baptized. And they're baptizing people and saying the right. And so Greg Laurie's explaining to them what it is. No, here's how you say it. Here's exactly the words. And here's what was said back then. And they keep, you know, they're doing take one, take two, take three. And all of a sudden he comes up, you know, lets them do their thing. And they're filming over. And he's standing there. And a guy comes up to him and says, "Hey, man, I want Jesus Christ in my life." He says, "Well, you can meet him right now." Greg Laurie, literally, they're filming the movie here. 20 yards away, he gets out in the ocean. And several people get saved. Like, he's baptized, you know. And then they come out, and he says, after that end of that day, one of the actors in the movie, and he did not tell who, one of the actors in the movie came up to him and says, "Hey, Greg, I need this in my life. I need Christ." And he got to lead one of the actors to Christ. So they're having good testimonies of people meeting Jesus from this. And, you know, by the way, just I'll throw this out at you. Our culture is very, you know, video-driven, of course. The last couple generations have had screens in their hands from when they were this big. And so because of that, you know, a very effective way, I had a guy at the college ask me about salvation. And you know what I did? I literally went to YouTube. Tony Evans is, in like 2 minutes, preaches the gospel. And I just thought, let me just try this. And I copied it and pasted it and just sent it to him. And you know, he's like, "Dude, that was good." You know, I was like, "I don't know, maybe we'll use this stuff." You know, so anything we can use, I think, for the cause of Christ and the gospel. And guys, it don't even have to be Christian films because you know how life is and you know how culture is in people. If you want to find out where people are at, follow the arts, follow their music, and follow the movies, follow what they're into. And then we can learn a lot about, you know, our neighbors and meet them right where they're at. So anyways, good things are happening. Sam said one thing he read, there was like 7 people, you said, got saved after watching the movie. There were people and 7 people. So, you know, let's just trust God with this history and this peace here, and let's just do our part, right? So, all right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This pastor that this movie is on, one that Frasier's playing, he said, in an interview, because a lot of traditional churches thought he went off the deep end. And, you know, guys, there'd be a time just even wearing loose clothing and tennis shoes up front here was not acceptable. And so he had a lot of people, Chuck Smith, that just said, "Man, we think you're abandoning the faith by making Christianity too casual." And he says, I don't know what to do because I have hundreds of hippies coming. He goes, and some of them, they're dragging people in that are whacked out of their minds, hitting acid, and they're dropping them in church. And, you know, like, things are happening. It was just crazy. And anyways, they asked him in an interview, they said, "What was the key to seeing so many saved and seeing this revolution and churches are grown?" And here's what he said. He said, "The key to it all is exposition of Scripture." He said, "It's the Bible. You teach the Bible." And he tried to be faithful to the Bible, and that is the key. Not playing the cool card or nothing. He goes, "No, you teach Scripture and let Jesus do the work. That's what you do." And so I was pretty impressed with that. So, man, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and last week we hit it, and we kind of hit some touchy subjects last week, and that's okay. I'm okay with that if God says it's okay. If God talks about this in his word, we got to address it. And that's how I've always done it. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he says in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, to this young church, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. I mean, how you walk, and you need to learn how to please God, and you need to abound in this. Verse 2 says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So let's pray that God, that we're trusting that you would take these 8 verses and put a bow on it for us today, that we've already started this journey. I pray that we speak, and Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would just write on our hearts, speak to us exactly where we need to be spoken to. Lord, in a culture that's kind of overwhelmed by these type of things, and especially sexual things, Lord, you've called us to be different. I pray that we'd proclaim that this morning. I pray that no way this message would be perceived as anything vulgar, but it would be perceived as godliness and where we need to stand and what we need to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in a culture that's kind of turning again, there's been waves in history of this, because with that hippie revolution and the drug movement that came in, also came a lot of free love and free sex. Matter of fact, there's some negative to this story. One of the evangelists in this history that really started this revolution amongst young people that were, you know, a lot of people call them freeloaders, but they were free with their sex, free with their drugs. You know, they just shared everything together. The main evangelist in it actually had fallen, and it actually went back into drugs, and actually ended up, his sexuality led him to a point where he actually became a homosexual, and which is what sex will do to you. It spirals down. Always spirals down. Now, at the end of his life, before Lonnie Frisbee died, he did, you know, get right with the Lord, and talked with all those around him, and just, you know. But anyways, I just think our culture's reached a spot once again where, you know, things are confusing for us. If you've grown up in the church, or if you're an older person, it's very odd, you know, because, you know, there was a day when even homosexuality was quiet. Like, it was a shame for people. We got a story of my father, even when he was in the military, there was a very feminine sergeant that was over him. And he was so feminine, my dad was scared. He said, this is a manly man, but yet he had another lifestyle. And so, anyways, my dad ended up getting into a bad spot and ended up hitting this guy with a Coke bottle in the head. And it was, but my dad said, man, that stuff wasn't allowed, man. Like, you know, it was, and I said, no, I get it, you know. So, but we have seen in our day and age, and all, you think of the, not just Hollywood, but even the rock and roll scene, all the people that were definitely free with their liberal, with their, you know, drug taking and sex use. And it rolled over into something. And now, you know, we've got a cultural thing now that they say you got to be very careful and very sensitive, because homosexuality just seems like kindergarten now, don't it? Because now people are, you know, working it. They're, you know, changing genders. And this whole thing is out there. And it's very common. And they're even little kids, not even giving them a a gender until they get a little bit older, so that the kid can decide when he's 6, you know, or however that works. Just totally bizarro. So, guys, I do think we're in this passage, and I do think we need to look at it. We need to see it from God's perspective. Culture changes. God's word does not. Even dating and marriage, that varies with different cultures around the world, but the Bible puts principles in place that you don't abandon those. Like, we've done a prearranged marriage here at this church. That's weird for our culture. We don't handle that stuff. We don't do that stuff. But it works in their culture. And you use the Bible principles, and that's what God's Word does. That's what, even planting churches, you won't find a lot of details on how that's done. You'll find some big themes, but and God says, because cultures can vary a little bit. You don't have to do church the way we do church here. It can be done differently as long as you don't abandon God's Word. So just to let you know that our culture has adjusted and got weird and it changes. And just remember, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Satan is, small letter G, he's in charge. And a lot of the things that run accordingly. And so we as believers got God's Word and we should think differently. And the problem is when we allow culture to inundate and it phases in to our church, that's what churches really do today. And then they don't take a stance on God's Word. And so I'm here to tell you today, as we talk about some of these things, we need to be bold. We need not be quiet. Because we're not haters. We don't hate people, do we? But man, it sure seems that when you like disagree with somebody's lifestyle or something, you'll stand on the Bible and just like, yeah, you guys, you know, like you're haters. You know, or like I got some phobia in my life. I don't have a phobia in my life over that. Now, I know what God's Word says, and I'm going to stand on that. And you know, it can give me love and compassion for people that don't. You know, if you look at the stats of people that get very liberal in their sexuality, the stats are horrifying. The stats of how these people, most people that choose like an alternative lifestyle outside of the Bible, their lives are usually messed up. And even people that want to change their gender, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know most people that change their gender, between 80 and 90% of them already started out as homosexual? They already started off abandoning what God said. And then it led them to another level of it, and they decided to totally, you know, change their gender. If you look at the stats on mental illness, which mental illness, you know, a lot of people struggle with that. And there's a lot of variants that play into that. But this, a group of people that would go, you know, either homosexual or maybe even go and transgender, these people that they've just proven they really, really struggle with their mental health. They all have some real difficulty in their thinking. And did you know just 20 years ago, a lot of the things that people say is acceptable today was totally a mental illness just a few years back. And so culture's changed. Now listen, it don't mean that we look back and say culture's terrible, it's of the devil, it's dark, let's stay away. No, we hold the light. We hold the light to break people out of darkness. So we don't fear the culture, we take God's Word into it. And by the way, you know, we live in a culture where we've not seen Christianity like persecuted very heavily. It's coming. We're just going to have to own some of that. We're going to have to own some of that. You know how it is. They think like, man, you can't hate on us. They will hate on you. That's just part of it. It's part of it. If you look at not just God's Word, but even history, you're going to find out that that's just true. And so, anyways, it says here, as you've received us, how to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. If we want people to walk with God and to please God, he says that's got to be received. Guys, it's got to be modeled. It starts with us. I don't want to be a guy that looks at the generation below me and talks how ridiculous they are. I want to be a guy that models and that can be a great example to them along the way. We believe in discipleship, church, don't we? If people are going to walk with God, we got to model it and teach that. It's not natural to walk with God. It's not natural to please God. It's natural to please ourselves. It's natural to be from the womb, the Bible says. It's very selfish. So we gave 4 points last week on how to please God or how to walk with God, and we gave 3 practical ways as far as pleasing God, 3 points on that. I'm not going to repeat those. You can go back and get that. But something I didn't give last week and I would like to share with you, I'm going to give you a quick hit on this. So he says, you've received us how to walk and to please God and now abound more and more. Abound in that. Abound in that. Don't stop there. Some of you have been saved a long time. Keep growing. What's next? Keep growing as long as you can. May today be better than yesterday. May your walk and your love with Jesus be better this week than it was a week ago or a year ago or two. So keep abounding. But what I'd like to do is, if you're going to please God, let me give you 3 results that the Bible says that you could potentially have in your life by pleasing God. Are you ready for this? Proverbs 16:7 says, to please God, he will have your enemies be at peace with you. Especially the subject we're kind of going to deal with a little bit here today. If you got a group of people that you totally don't agree with their lifestyle, but as Christians, you know what the Bible says? That if you please God, your enemies can even be at peace with you. Guys, it's a great testimony. It's a great testimony for you and me as believers to say, you know, that gal shot me the truth, shared with me God's word, and I don't believe it. But that lady's never mistreated me. That's a good testimony. That even your enemies could be at peace with you. And it was neat. I had there's a couple in Galesburg, a homosexual couple that I know, fairly good friends with them. Like, I've been to their house, and they'll say, hey, they talked spiritual to me. Hey, we just wanted you to know something. And they'd tell this story. And guys, I share the truth of the Bible. Never had an immense amount of friction. And I just wonder if it's because some of the results of that are pleasing God. Even your enemies can be at peace with you. You know what Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 26 says? If you will please God, you have the capability of escaping wild women. That's exactly what it says. Please God. You can escape that. You'll have a protection from that. Go check it out. 3, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 is the third one. A result of pleasing God is that will be your testimony. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. That word will spread, and everybody will know that he is a God pleaser. You want that testimony. I mean, he'll please God. And guys, I've had people from other churches come to me to get counsel, and I'll say, hey, why don't you talk to your pastor? And they'll say, because we knew you were going to shoot us the Bible. We knew you'd tell us the truth. I'm like, wow, that's bold. And I always tell them, hey, I'm not a sheep thief or anything, but if I couldn't go get counsel from my pastor knowing he ain't going to shoot me the truth, I wouldn't go there. I would want, I need a man or a woman of God that's going to open God's word, you know, and shoot me straight on this thing, you know. That he's going to please God no matter what. And so hopefully you hear that from the pulpit always. Even it's abrasive stuff, hard to hear. Hopefully it ain't just me the way I put it together, but it's the way God's word's laid out. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you're angry. But get so angry that you're going to go home and dig a little deeper, and then I think we'll end up being friends over this deal, right? So get in God's word. Let's walk into please God. Notice what it says next, verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. See, they didn't have a completed Bible then. So Paul's writing it in this letter he's sending. He says, you guys know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Guys, God's will for our life, I have 5 things in the New Testament that make up God's will. People always want God's will to be, should I move to Tennessee or should I move to Michigan? What about Ohio? God, where do you want? What job do I take? You got all these things. You know, what team should I root for? You know, and that's a given. Everybody knows that, right? There's only one. But there's 5 things that are God's will. 5. But we focused on one. And the one he says here is even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Last week we started this message, and the message was on purity, being sanctified. And even says that you should abstain from fornication. So he says God's will is sanctification. God's will is for you and me to be set apart. Guys, it is God's will that we are different than our culture. That's God's will. But the problem is everybody wants to make their Christianity cool. Like, oh, our church is cool. You can drink coffee at our church. Guys, that's old. That was cool 20 years ago. That's not cool anymore. Every church has coffee. Every church does donuts. And every church has some sort of like pop and music a little bit. Not every, but a lot of them do. That's not cool anymore. He says here, it's God's will that me and you are sanctified. That word would be that we are consecrated. That word is also translated holiness, that me and you would be separated. We would be different. And specifically, he says in verse 3, that you should abstain from fornication. Abstain, 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 abstain. That word abstain means to refrain, man. It means hold back, man. And so, you know, back now, when I was in high school, that was a big thing where people would collect and get the, you know, health departments would come together and they would hand out condoms. And they would say, hey, you need to make sure at least, you know, everybody's having sex, right? So you might as well have safe sex. The Bible doesn't teach safe sex. You know what the Bible teaches? If you are not married, no sex. No sex for you, Homer. That's what the Bible teaches. None. Refrain. And people will say, but it's natural. It is natural. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, it works the story and says, you know, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things that are natural. Just because you desire them or see them or lust after them, and you just think, well, it's just human nature. Yeah, it's natural to go against God. The Bible says our flesh cannot please God. So that's why the Bible says, I want to talk to you about abstaining. And somebody would just say, so you're a square? I mean, yeah. Yeah, guys, I know it don't feel like a badge of honor in the midst of the classroom. But at the gate of heaven, man, at the throne of God, he's pleased. That's where it matters most. So I just want to encourage you. I know sometimes it looks like a black mark almost, but who's given the marks anyways? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, let's abstain from sexual sin. Porn is rampant right now. Christians, we refrain from it. We avoid it. You know what Job says? Job says, what doth it profit me to think upon a maiden? Job said that. The oldest book in the Bible, Job says, what does it profit me to think upon a lady? It don't do me any good. It actually gets me in trouble. And so to look at those type of things and those type of images, what profit is there? There's no studies out there determining that there's a healthiness in somebody that would indulge in whatever they want to see all the time. It's just not found out there. Everybody, we all have our own dopamine release. Everybody wants it. Everybody really believes that life is all about your happiness and what you desire. And Paul just says, but here's the deal. We taught how you should please God and not yourself. And so what you need to do, God's will, is sanctification. It's to actually to refrain, to abstain from sexual things. Hey, you'd think, man, that's kind of hard in our culture. Oh, it's worse than that. Jesus says in chapter 5, we'll hit this here in a couple weeks. He says, hey, why don't you just abstain from the very appearance of evil? One's evil. Don't indulge in it. The very appearance of it, you should just avoid. That's wisdom. The very appearance of evil. Wow. If you want to, you can go to 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11 says this, that we should abstain from fleshly lusts that, here's what it does, it wars against your soul. See, the problem is things that do not please the Lord, and you're a Christian man or woman, there's a war going on in your soul. And the war is really who's going to reign in your heart and in your life. Are you going to please the Lord or are you going to please yourself? And that's what everybody says today. You know what John 17:17 says? There's one truth. It's that book. God's word is truth. It don't contain truth. That's the book of truth. Today, everybody says, well, that's my truth. Hey, partner, you know how much weight that carries with me? None. That's your truth. You can come up, make your own rules up and say, yeah, that's how it works. And that is how it works. You know, it's funny, we were talking about this the other day. You know, if you had too many tattoos showing, at one point, even guys with longer hair, girls with shorter hair, or if somebody had colored hair. Got news for you. You don't get the job. But culture's changed. You can't do that today. They shut your business down if you put too many. And I'm not saying I'm for either way. You know, I get it. But what it is everybody is their own God. They make the rules up as they go, and they say, and nobody can do anything about it.
I mean, you ever watch these videos of a cop pulling people over, and these people are like, hey, do you know why I pulled you over? And they're like, yeah. Let me see your driver. No. I don't have to give you my license. You're like, oh, you don't? You know, I'm just like, my gosh, what happened to the old days, man? You grab the back of the head and you stick a pen right up under their nose right there. I had a cop do that. He goes, I bet you I can get you out of that chair. I said, all right, I'll buckle down, man. This cop grabbed the back of my head and he took an ink pen and put it on that bone right there. Man, it took about 4 seconds and I was up out with tears in my eyes. I'm like, dude, that's incredible. You can't do that today. They don't let policemen do that today. Times have just become so absolutely incredibly strange. That's my truth. That's what I believe. I don't believe that. I ain't going to do that, you know. And, like, what in God's name is going on here? Well, it's a mess. That's what's going on. So here, he just makes it clear that sanctification is got to be a priority because it's God's will. So listen to me, guys. This is a big deal in God's word. As Christians, we got to take a culture that is very sexual, and we got to make sure it got to start in our homes, in our homes. We don't watch those kind of movies. What good's it do? It just perverts our mind. We don't need to do it. Or those type of books. Or, you know, another thing saying, yeah, we don't listen to that kind of music. Do you know what that song is about? It's not the music per se. That music's catchy. That's why they write it. But the words, yeah, that goes contrary to the Bible. We're not going to fill our minds with that. And it just seems so stiff, you know. But you know what it is? It's biblical. I don't know why there's so many things where we think that, like, God's not just sitting back saying, don't, no, don't. What he's really saying is, don't hurt yourself. Dude, you're going to mess your life up. And God is a big God, and he'll give you your will. That's why today's message is really about choices. You don't have to please God. You don't have to please yourself if you want to. When you're on your third marriage and your children hate you, I would highly suggest that maybe you go and say, okay, God, how is this supposed to be done? Let me see some truth here, because my truth obviously wasn't correct, right? And so purity, sanctification. Just to let everybody know, when it's sanctification, God does his part. So here's what God's done for you and me. And that's why if you look in this passage, how it ends, is in verse 8, he'll say, he that despiseth not man. You're not disregarding or rejecting men. If you don't like this concept, you're rejecting God. And here's what's crazy. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You got man's spirit, right? And all of a sudden, meet Jesus Christ. He's put his Holy Spirit inside of you. He's given you a group of people to do life with called the church. And the third thing he's given you is a Holy Spirit. Bible, his words. That way you can have complete and utter victory in your life. Not always perfect. Sometimes it gets messy. But we have the Holy Spirit inside, brings conviction, a group of people to keep us accountable and love us and help us. And we got a Bible, man, that can feed the inside. And we can be stronger than we've ever been before on the inside. We can actually go against this culture. So God's part is sweet because he sanctified us by the blood of Christ. He mentions, if you just study the word sanctify or sanctification in Scripture, you'll see that God does his part through his blood. He puts his spirit inside of you. You know what our part is? Our part is these things we've been talking about. We still have a choice. There still could be evil presented in front of you, and you have a choice, and God says, hey, refrain from that activity. And that's what you do. You have to make a choice to abstain. You have to make a choice. He says here that we're not supposed to be like the Gentiles, but you're supposed to say, right? We're supposed to, know how to please God in your body. And it says you live in sanctification and honor, to honor him. You make these decisions. It is the choice. It's the choice that we all are faced with. There's four pieces to this puzzle. Sanctification is like a big, super duper holy word, but I got news for you. If you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are justified. Justification is a big word. But I meet Jesus and it's just as though I've never sinned. I'm justified in God's eyes because of Christ. Big words, right? Now he says you need to be sanctified, set apart. In a world that goes contrary to God, you and me got to be sanctified for his use. Are you ready for the four puzzle pieces that make sanctification up? Here it is. The very first one is God's word. God's word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5 says, we sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Guys, it's the Bible. This is called good brainwashing. Good manipulation. We fill our minds with that book, and you'll start thinking different. How does God think about this? What's Jesus say about that? And this is something, too, we can condition even our own children to start thinking, what pleases God here, right? You know, so the first piece to sanctification is God's word. You're not going to be sanctified and you're not in this book. Fill your brains with the book, right? The next thing you're going to find, the second puzzle piece, is to yield. Romans 6:19 says we should yield our members as servants of righteousness unto holiness. Same word as sanctification. You have to yield your members. You have to yield yourself. Meaning, guys, we're all going to experience temptation. Something's always going to try to pull us away. And the Bible says, yield, man. Or it'd be the same principle as the restrain or abstain from evil. And the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. So what you do is you got God's word and you fill it inside. But you are going to reach a time when you're going to have a choice. What road are you going to go down? Which pill are you going to take? And you yield. You yield to God. You yield to righteousness. You yield your members as servants to righteousness, not to sin. So get in God's word, yield to him. The third one is fruit. Romans 6:22 says you can be free from sin so you can have fruit unto holiness. Guys, if you'll start producing fruit of sanctification and holiness, fruit, teach it to other people. That's what you do. Have fruit in your life. And I'll tell you, you get people around you some good fruit in your life, it's harder to do bad. You got a team of people keeping you on the rails, right? And so have some real genuine fruit unto holiness. Everything you do, you decide they're going to have fruit for righteousness and not for evil. That's the third piece of this. Here's the last piece, which is pretty easy, but the Bible says we got to continue in it. 1 Timothy 2:15 tells us this. Like, this lady will be saved in childbearing if she continues in faith, charity, and holiness. Because there's a lot of deception that goes along with it. And believe me, my mom got pregnant at 14 years old. And I'll tell you what. And it don't mean that if you do what's right, you're going to be saved from the pain of childbearing. No, that's a very painful experience. As close to death as most people probably ever get as far as the pain, you know, spectrum there. But what it's saying is you'll be protected in holiness. And you'll have the right partner. And it'll be righteousness before God. And it can be a beautiful thing. And you'll be saved. And, you know, and everybody today has, you know, everybody today seems like have, you know, you got kids here and kids from them and a second kid. Well, it's like my own, but, you know, and then everybody, you know, them poor kids, don't you feel sorry for them at Christmas time? No, they get a lot of gifts. Yeah, but you're drug everywhere, ain't you? You got this person, that person, second step, this step, that. It's very confusing. So the Bible says if you get in God's word and yield to righteousness, then have fruit under righteousness in that tree, and it'll be pretty clear what you are, then the Bible says you better continue in this. Then it means over and over and over again. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it every day, every day. It's simple but very difficult to do, right? So there's the four pieces of sanctification in Scripture. So the bottom line is we are supposed to abstain from sexual things. And tonight, I'm actually going to speak to the youth group tonight. Bo's going to teach D2, so I get the privilege of doing this. And I've been praying, like, God, where do you want me to go with this thing? Well, man, last couple weeks I know we've been in this passage, and I feel like God just said, this is an area. Because you know when it starts? It starts when you're 10. It starts when you're 12. I mean, I can tell you stories when I was a young boy, unsupervised, the things that I seen, and I can remember them clear as not good. And so, yeah, I needed that, right? And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight in youth group, talking really what the Bible says about these type of things and about relationships, but even about sexual things. And so let me end on this as we're talking about this passage here. He says in verse 4, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Isn't that something? We're supposed to abstain from fornication. He says, yeah, everyone should know how to possess his vessel. Your body, how you should handle your body in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. Isn't that a wonderful word? Concupiscence. You know what concupiscence is in the Bible? I always say it's like lust on steroids. And this is what the Gentiles, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. People that don't know God, you know what they do? They live in this realm. Because lust is what you want, what pleases you. And guys, you're born out of the womb going, ah, you always want it, right? You just say, ah, you always want something. Little kids will put everything in their mouths, don't they? They want it, they want it. Then they get a little older to play with other people, and all of a sudden they got a toy, but they look over and see that toy, they want that one. It's it's selfish. It's from the womb. This is, and it don't end. You become adults, and you just think, I want that. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. Nobody's going to stop me. You know, hey, okay. Yeah, nobody's going to stop you. Well, let's see where this leads you, right? And so concupiscence is an inordinate, the Bible says it's inordinate affection. You lust, and when it becomes concupiscence, it dominates your thinking. You just don't lust every once in a while. Everything you do is a lustful thought. You have now entered the realm of perversion. You are a perverted human being. The Bible says how to handle that. It says it's got to be mortified. Oh, ain't that terrible? What a rough word. It's got to die. Don't wrestle it. It needs to be killed. That's how that works. Done. It's got to be dead. Mark 4:19 says, you know what lusts do? The seed and the sower, remember that? When lusts come in, they choke the word. The very book that you're in to be sanctified, if you add lust to that, it'll choke what God's doing. The message this morning, you'll hear it, and we'll all hear the same thing. We know what God's word says. We leave this place. We indulge in lustful activities that just please ourselves. It'll wrap its fingers around God's word in your life, and it'll choke it out, and it'll dominate. Because only one can sit on the throne. We know that by now, right? It can't be both. It can't be me and Jesus. It can't be my flesh and the spirit. One's going to dominate, and the one that's going to dominate is the one I yield to. And I know it's a hard one to get because human nature is so strong. It is so powerful. These inordinate affections we have. Guys, I always think of Solomon in the Old Testament. You know, he writes this beautiful love story in the Song of Solomon, and it's like the one lady, one in a thousand, man. He found the one in a thousand true love in his life. Then if you read his history, you know what happens to him? After God gave him all this wisdom, he ends up at a spot where the Bible says he has like 700 wives and 400 concubines. The Bible says that he started loving strange women, things that were different, things that were appealing to him. And so he always wanted something new. Everybody, the culture is always trying to turn and change. It's not really any different than it's ever been. But for us right now, and you see it where it's at, and that's why the Bible teaches you and me that some of the best things we can do are just actually old-fashioned. And people look at us like you're old-fashioned. Anything that's new that usually comes along, even in Christianity, it's usually not good. And it usually don't last. But there's principles in God's word that are just true. They're just so faithful. And if you would live after them, and he says, here, you know what you need to do? Learn how to possess your vessel. That's exactly what we need. So all of us in this room, not just young people, but I might say especially young people this morning, how to possess and control your vessel. This is the biggest thing we do. The human mind's not fully developed till like young 20s, 24, let's just say 24 years old. And so we send a bunch of young people to a college campus, 18, 19-year-olds, and we put them all together without proper supervision. And what happens? Yeah, every freshman gains 15 pounds. They usually, depending on who they're with, they get introduced to partying. And some parents really just think, well, you have to. That's how that works, right? You got to get involved in that. And you get in all these activities, and you get around a bunch of people that don't really have sense. They're not fully no wisdom in their minds, and we expect things to turn out well. They a lot of times just don't turn out well. We're supposed to know how to possess, how to acquire this body, and how it's supposed to be handled. By the way, the majority of time you talk about possessing a vessel in the Bible, the majority of time it's demonic. Evil. Demons like to possess the human body. Because see, you got a dead spirit. And it's our job to take the Holy Spirit, receive Christ. He moves inside. We feed him. everybody else will do what they want to do, right? That's exactly what the enemy would prefer. That's exactly what he wants done. So we're supposed to be a chosen vessel unto him. Our bodies are a living sacrifice to him. 1 Corinthians 9 says you better discipline your body and bring it under control. So this is what we do is when you have a young person, parents, they need our help. They need our help because they're not going to always make the best decision. I love when I'm around parents and, you know, there's a whole tray of, like, cookies. And there's a bunch of cookies and your kid says, hey, mom, can I have a cookie? And, you know, the mom that says no, I just think you're nasty. But I love when a parent just says, okay, I'll let you have one. Oh, it's Christmas time. You can have two. Sometimes I say it's Christmas. Have as many as you want. The best thing for them to do is to get sick later. I'm like, you know what that is? That's six cookies. That's what that's called, you know. But, yeah, just this one. And we're teaching them, you know, and they do that business. And say, guess what? It just turned to zero. You don't act that way. See, what you're doing is you're helping. It's called training, the Bible says. They need this from us. A lot of young people struggle knowing how to possess their vessel. They can't do it. They need us right now. They need us to model sanctification and honor. They need us to know what, they need to wash discipline in our lives. They need to know these verses, and we say, this is what's happening right now, and choking out, and your kid will have wisdom, man. You have a kid that's so insulated that wherever he goes, he's not moved very easily. Now, we're not talking about total isolation. I think that can be dangerous, too, just pulling them out. I mean, we live in a world. It's rough, but we need to be like Solomon, point out what's out there. We used to do it all the time to our kids. See the way that girl's acting right now? Yeah. What needs to happen there? My girls would say, man, somebody needs to spank that girl. You're exactly right. That's why you don't act that way. You don't do when you don't get your way. But we teach that. We train that. So the Bible says here that we should abstain from fornication, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. It's natural. Yeah, you're right. It's natural for a human being to do that. But we're not supposed to live that way. It says Gentiles live that way that know not God. People that don't know God should live totally opposite of them. And somehow we've convinced ourselves that it's almost cool to be like them. It's not. It's not. We should be a people that can refrain. We should be a people that don't let this go crazy in our world. We should teach our kids, and when all these kids want to do this or be this and all these new terms are coming up and everybody's turning this way, we show our kids the damage behind all that. That's what, you just show them the truth and how it plays out and lives out. We got a choice to make, right? It's pretty clear in Scripture here that our choice is we can live in sanctification, honor, or we can live as Gentiles, which know not God. Six, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That word defraud in Scripture can be a really rough one. You better be careful on this defrauding because it mentions it in 1 Corinthians to a married couple. Like, when you're married, be careful because you know what God's done? He's made this great system where a married couple can have the liberty in the area of sexuality. They can have some liberty there, the Bible says. The God gives it. That's how it's total freedom. And the Bible says just be careful when it comes to intimacy. Don't defraud each other, you know, to defraud somebody. Like, you're going to get one up on them, you know, have more than them. Don't. It's like a defrauding, a spoiling or a robbing. Don't rob him or rob her of some real genuine needs in their life. That's a married couple. But that same word, I think, is used also for people that are separate. When you're supposed to wait for the physical act of oneness in marriage, and a lot of people don't wait, they blow it. I get it. And Jesus meets them right where they're at. This message ain't here to make you feel guilty about it. Now, if you're indulging in it right now, you say you're a Christian, you should feel, Holy Spirit should be whipping your tail right now. You should be getting a spanking because he's correcting you. But the bottom line is this. When unmarried and you come together like this, yeah, don't defraud each other. But if you're not married and you decide that you're going to do that act anyways, you know what you're doing? You are spoiling. You are defrauding your brother or sister. Or sometimes it's people that don't even know the Lord. The Bible says, you know, when you're with the harlot, you come together. One, you're, that's a big mark for God, for people to become one. The last act is you can come together physically. You know, you should always start off as friends, get to know each other, right? And then God's got some special things set aside for marriage. And I want everybody to know that, too, that, you know, the Scripture is really clear about that. You know what Hebrews 13:4 says? The marriage bed is undefiled. outside of marriage, sexual activity is defilement. You're warring against your soul. People don't realize it, but you're wrecking your life. And it don't seem like that. And they'll act like it's not. But you know. But then we come go to the video store and bring home and watch movies. Like, well, this is it's not a bad movie. It's just friends with benefits. Well, you think that's good? You think that's healthy? And then everybody just says, come on, quit being such a what? Because eventually, if you want to boil that down, somebody's going to look at you and say, quit being so holy. Really? That's weird. You act like it's a bad thing. Quit being so godly. Quit be. No, I want to do what the Bible says, you know. It says, don't defraud your brother in any matter. So you do not take advantage of another brother or sister in this department, especially. Especially people that are vulnerable, you know. And there's a lot of young people out there that are depraved from a good mom and dad in their homes. And so a girl is 14 years old, and my mom says this was her. She was just looking for love, just in all the wrong places. And so she got pregnant by a 19-year-old at 14. By the way, they're still together today. You know why? My mom met Christ. In the midst of being this young girl with the baby, she met Jesus, and it changed her life. And they're still together to this day. And I'm thankful for that. And if it wasn't for Jesus, they're both pretty clear that their marriage would have ended a long, long time ago. Don't go and defraud your brother. It says that we have forewarned you and testified. It says, for God hath not called us, verse 7. I'm wrapping this up, to uncleanness but unto holiness. Guys, we are called to holiness. It's okay. Wear that. You're called to be holy. You're called to be different. It don't say you're not called to like be better than everybody else, but listen to me. You're called to be better than everybody else. You are. You're called to be holy. It says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath given to us. God gave you his Holy Spirit so that you could be holy. If you'll let the Holy Spirit live out this Christian life in you, you'll be holy. If you don't, you know what you'll be? A perversion of the truth. Some sort of perversion of the truth. I shared last week with you about sexual addiction. They've proven that rats will not get addicted to cocaine if you put them in their natural habitat. If they put a rat in a cage in a certain environment where he cannot escape, they can get very easily addicted to like cocaine. But if you put them in a natural habitat where they're supposed to be, they'll find other ways to have a dopamine release. They won't be seeking that one. You put them in a concrete jungle with bars, it'll end up being a bad deal. That's why, honestly, our whole judicial system doesn't work real well. It doesn't work real well. They end up with a lot of problems a lot of times because that change got to take place deeper. So Christians, if you've got God's word, his spirit inside, and you got the church, the environment that God told you to grow and to be in, and if you'll live in that environment, these type of things will not leave you addicted. Guys, it's natural to be attracted to them. Why do we all sin anyways? There's got to be some element of fun in it. Why do you do that? And it's not until that lady has drunk so much that it's become such a bad habit and she struggles. But there was many years and nights of pleasure and enjoyment. That's what sin tends to offer us. A temporary satisfaction, a temporary happiness that never lasts long will leave you wanting for more. Sexual things are no different than a cocaine, than a meth addiction, a heroin addiction, where dopamine release and it just feels so good. And they've proven, Christians prove, in the, non-Christians prove in their studies, if you deal with like anybody that studies the mind and the brain, and they'll prove and they'll just say, check this out. And it's a wreckage of a life. You'll never get back to that base dopamine that you have, and you'll always be seeking it. And you got this addiction now in your life that you can't escape from. You got a happiness and never be fulfilled. And so what happens in fantasy land, you're struggling to have the same sort of dopamine rush and release, the same high. So then when you get together for a real interaction, husband and wife, you'll find out the struggle. Now you're handicapped. You can't have that same. You'll struggle in those. And that's what happens with young guys that get involved in this. The studies are really, really awful on it when you read it. So what we need to do is make sure the habitat that God provided for you and me, we need to dwell there. So Christians, let me say this much. In closing, I believe that you and me can be sanctified. I believe you and me can be set apart, or God wouldn't told us and even told us how to. I don't believe that sexual things have to dominate your life. It dominates the internet. And that's the problem with these things, you know? Because something as easy as porn, liquor, and guys, there's all kinds of forms of success. Some people, man, they'll be studying, man. They'll get done. They get their A on their test, and, like, that's the dopamine release, and they're, like, they're high, man, all night long because of it. And most people say, well, at least that's socially acceptable, and it's a little bit better, but you better be careful because the day's coming when your A is going to turn into a C. What are you going to do then? You got to seek the dopamine release anymore, more, and how are you going to get that? It can be very, very deceptive. So we just got to be super careful on this thing. I believe that you and me have the choice. We can possess this vessel. We can allow Jesus to reign in our lives and God's word to dominate. Sanctification and honor. It's choices we make. It is that simple, which the world don't tell you that. You know, they like to say, no, this is who I am. Well, you better make some adjustments, pal, because you're going to have your nose broken in about 3 weeks. This is ridiculous, right? Don't defraud your brother. Don't mess other. Just because you have a perversion, misery enjoys company. You'll defraud other people around you. That's what sexual things do to you. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you take the liberty and overstep your bounds. Why is that? Because the Bible says that's what will happen to you. Then you end up defrauding other people just because you're perverted. It's a bad system, and we got it out there, and it's pretty heavy duty. So what we need to do is, church, we're going to walk with God. We're going to please him. You know what we're going to do? We're leaving this place. I'm avoiding porn. I'm avoiding it. God says the marriage bed's undefiled. The healthy way to do this thing is you wait till you're married. And then these ruts in your life, you have all this sexual behavior, and you've created ruts in your life, and this false way of thinking that you think that's real, that ain't real, but you've convinced itself it is. Then you get yourself a partner, and you realize maybe it's not real. Fantasy's better. Oh, it's so sad. And then your life will always go down into that rut. But young people, if you'll do it right, if you'll do it right and live your life in sanctification and honor, and God brings a person along one day, and all of a sudden you become one and you become married, and all of a sudden the marriage bed's undefiled, and you know what you do? You create these righteous ruts in your mind and in your life, and it lasts a lifetime. One woman, one man for a lifetime. It's a beautiful thing. It's just in the bounds of where God put it. These things are like water, you know, they're like emotions. Water always needs a container. If not, you get it everywhere. It's wet. Everything's wet and jacked up all around you, right? But these things need a container, and God gave it that container, and that container is called marriage. It's a sanctified, right? God set it up from the beginning. Let's pass it on. And the shows that teach otherwise, all these friends, you know, you got these shows, and honestly, we got to the point with Disney channels as our girls were growing up. All of a sudden, it was just like overnight, I'm just like, why are these 12-year-olds dating? That ain't right. Culture said it is. And then people think it's cute. And then, you know, you'll find some aged guy come up, and there's this third-grade girl that comes out, and he'll say, sweetie, do you have a boyfriend at school? And he thinks that's cute talking. Hey, Papaw, be careful. I'm about to jack your jaw. You don't no. That's not how this thing works. It's a culture that does that, and it's all no. We're going to do it exactly the way the Bible said to do it. Got a question for you this morning, and my question for you is this. Do you have any questions on this subject? I know it's kind of being recorded. If it's something private, I wouldn't get too crazy, but do you got any questions on this for real? Guys, our culture is right up here, man. It's in the deep end of this. We can't freak out about it. We just got to do what the Bible says. I can control me. That's what the Bible says. I can possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. Even in my home, I got so much control in there, boundaries and things to put in place, what need to. As a church here, we had a couple in our church, actually, that this was weird. We had a couple in our church, two couples. They got a divorce, so they split up, so now they're further apart. This dude decided to shack up with this lady, and they started coming to church. That was weird. I don't know if you guys remember that years ago. That was so bizarre. I'm like, we know these people, but they weren't married. And you know what we had to do as a church and just say, hey, I got news for you. That is not welcome here. And they're like, why are you guys judging us? I said, I'll judge you all night long, man. I know what the Bible says. That is not allowed here. You know, our kids are watching this. You know how confusing that is? Why don't you guys grow up? If you were 9 years old, I'd drop your pants and take my belt off and give you a lashing, man. You're a grown man that needs a whipping. Stop living after your lusts. Your life's a mess. Your kids are a mess. And all of a sudden, you're going to get together with this lady who her marriage is a mess. Her kids are a mess. So now you're going to get together, and guess what? Yeah, that's exactly. We just keep multiplying and reproducing this craziness. It's not allowed in the church. Sorry. It's just that simple. Does anybody got any questions on this subject? Let's teach it right. We teach it in D2, marriage, dating, engagement, marriage. We even have a class where we teach on divorce and remarriage because our culture, it's just everywhere. We got to know what the Bible says about these things so that we don't keep repeating these same mistakes. So, hey, if anybody's having any issues in your life, like you really need some victory, come talk to me afterwards. Seriously, if you're a lady, I'll hook you up with a godly lady that can meet with you. Guys, porn is ever so addictive, and it's all over the place. A matter of fact, two church camps we've done here, I couldn't believe, you know, you get the sweetest little girl come up. And I remember the first time I'm like, hey, she comes because I need help. And I'm really addicted to pornography. And I was like, my gosh, this was a godly church girl. I'm like, whoa, what's happened here? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened here. But we need victory over this. And if you need some victory, come talk to me. Seriously, I'll give you some, the right, point you in the right direction for sure. And so men in this room, I highly recommend. There's a program called Covenant Eyes out there. I love it. It's good. You know what it does for me? I can look at anything I want to. It don't stop me from getting anywhere. But what it does is it gives me a report card and a grade. It's screen accountability. Every phone, tablet, computer I got. And I just somebody just it's like being babysat, but it's okay. Because, guys, I'm in that my office with that door closed a lot. How do you know in one day and one moment of weakness that I'm just decided, you know what? I'm going down to Zimbabwe today. And I just go on my own trail and end up in trouble. And that's exactly what happens. And so I'm a man that needs a little babysitting, and I would highly recommend some of you get it too. Just be clean, and then you teach your children that. And you explain to it and show them that, what I am capable of, and everybody else does this. And that hopefully when they see the stuff on the school bus or at school, hopefully they got the sense in your daughter's going, my dad wouldn't do that. My mom wouldn't do that. That's exactly, you had examples set in front of you. I remember the first time when I was just a little boy when I seen it in the projects, and bam, this magazine blew in the wind at my feet, and I picked it up. It was like a windstorm. The doors blew up into the trash facilities, and trash was blowing out of this place, and a dirty magazine happened to fall at the feet of this little boy. I went and picked it up. I was like, oh my gosh. I knew, like in my heart, I've never seen my mom look like this. But you know what was weird about it? I knew it was wrong because women don't dress this way. Or women dress. Maybe I should say it that way. And I was just like, what? No, you know what, though? As a little boy in a little mind, I wanted more. Like, that's the flesh. We're wired that way, man. You know, I wanted it. It's just you're a little kid, and that's my flesh. And you know, I've learned. I get in the New Testament. Mom taking me to church, teaching me some things. She got pregnant so young. I remember first girlfriend. She pulled me in. She's scared to death. I'm 14 years old, and she's like, "You know what's going to happen to you?" You know, and she lays out the story. I'm like, "What? This is ridiculous." You know, but it scared me. It put me in a good frame of mind, and I was like, "Okay, I need help." And so, guys, the boundaries got to be in place. Don't think as a parent you can't have them boundaries. Don't kid, your kids don't deserve a cell phone with no accountability. There's things out there they can have. Just be a parent. Let's parent. Let's be a church, man. Let's stand against the culture, right? Let's love. Let's teach these things. Even to our youth group as a young person. How do you swim through the cesspool of like your teen years and come out clean? Woo! It's a tough one, but the Bible does give solutions to that. So, hey, let's pray. I'm late. Jesus, thank you for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God, we need to hear these things because these type of things have just saturated our culture. And Lord, they always have. I know they always have. And yet we got screens and such easy access that, God, we need some real victory. I want to pray for the men and this women that need in this room that need victory in their life. I pray they would humble themselves to get it. Lord, help us with our kids. Help us with our children. Help us to be parents that can say no. Help us as parents to be able to teach our kids how to possess their vessel and not just live like the Gentiles and enjoy every activity and everything everybody else does. So, Lord, your word's true. It's pure, and it's good to be to hear it and be saturated in it today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.